If you have your Bibles, join me in the Gospel of Matthew this morning, chapter number 5. If you'll find your way, Matthew chapter number 5. And then when you get to Matthew chapter 5, I want you to just hold that spot, because I want to share with you a couple of supporting texts this morning for the text that we're going to talk about and preach out of today. So Matthew chapter 5. And when you get there, place a marker or a finger and go over to Luke chapter number 6. Luke chapter 6. Y'all good? Luke chapter number 6, look at verse 27. But I say unto you, now this is Jesus speaking, that I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. You with me? All right, you still got a finger over in Matthew? Don't lose Matthew. Go to the book of Romans with me. Romans chapter 12. Can you find Romans chapter 12? Now, I know I'm putting you to work this morning. You'll be okay. Don't get sweaty. Look at Romans chapter 12 and look at verse 20. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. Right? Romans 12, verse 20, 21. You still have your finger over in Matthew? All right, go to Philippians. Don't lose Matthew. We're going to get there. But go to Philippians with me. Chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, and look at verse number 18. Let me pick it up, verse 17. Brethren, be ye followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are, look at this phrase, enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 down. Now go back to Matthew, if you would, chapter 5. Matthew chapter number 5. And look, if you would, at verse 43. Matthew 5, verse 43, says this, ye have heard that it's been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, Jesus speaking, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Notice verse 45. That ye may be children of your Father which is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye do more than them or others? Do not even the publicans so? Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Perfect. Now, I brought all those verses of Scripture together because there's a common thread. And I know you've picked it up. I know you've seen it. The common thread, the mention in all those passages, the common thread, the commonality, is the word enemy. No, don't go there yet, guys. Just stay with me. Don't get in a hurry. Enemy. Enemy. Did you see it? Did you pick it up? Right? Enemy or enemies. Jesus speaks about it. Paul, we believe, inspired by God, wrote the book of Romans and the book of Philippians. And so he speaks about it. And if I were to take more time this morning, I can show you in other passages of Scripture, old and new, the reference to enemies. Enemies. In fact, that's what Jesus is speaking about here. And I trust this will not surprise you. I hope this will not blow you away. The family of God has enemies. Hello? The family of God has enemies. In fact, Jesus, speaking to his disciples, right? Matthew chapter 5, gathers the team together, and he begins to speak to them about the fact that there's going to be some folk who really you would declare as an enemy. An enemy. And the family of God. We've been speaking about the family of God for the last couple of months. And this morning I want to just kind of emphasize the fact that as the family of God, we're members of it if you're saved. We have an enemy. We have enemies. Now, I know this. Some of you, not me, I put us in there, but not me, some might have a hard time admitting that you have an enemy. And you may be that rare person that everybody loves. Huh? Somebody like that here this morning? Come on, I know there are. You're just somebody everybody loves. And so you may have a hard time admitting the fact that you have an enemy. But for many of us, it's not the case. Right? We come to understand that there are some people in this world, catch about what I'm going to say, that just do not like us. I know it's hard to believe because we're so lovable, but there are some people in our world, your world, that they just don't like you. Right? I think this, if you'd be honest, sometimes they may have good reason. But there are other times when you can't really figure out why. They just don't like you. And they've made themselves, now pay attention to this, they've made themselves an enemy. Isn't that an awesome picture? Huh? Even if I wasn't preaching about enemies today, when I came upon that picture, I was going to share it with you anyway. They're the cutest little fellas. You know, they're not my grandsons. Although I do have blonde-haired grandsons. They're Pinochetis. Just teasing. That's an inside joke here. And so I thought it'd be interesting as we begin the message this morning. Let's do this. Because I want us to be on the same page. Let's take a moment and define an enemy. Right? And I'm not going to ask for your help. Because we might have to change the rating of this meeting. But how would you define an enemy? Let me maybe just summarize. An enemy is someone who engages in destructive behavior. An enemy might engage in destructive criticism. You know, look here. Not all criticism is bad. Right? Some criticism is good. It's constructive. But then there is that destructive criticism. Ever been on the end, on the other side of criticism? Huh? You don't seem to be playing along. How many of us have criticized somebody? Come on, be honest. I probably did it this morning. You know? But being on the other side of it, destructive criticism. Huh? Enemies spread gossip about you. Talk about you. And not always in the kindest way. Well, I love my pastor. He's such a great guy. I can't stand that guy. He doesn't shut up. Huh? Enemies try to turn others against you. They try to build an alliance. Right? They get in somebody else's ear and they're trying to turn that person against you. Sometimes they'll lie about you. I mean, just flat out tell a lie about you. They may try to hurt you in some way. Help me here. You're pretending like this has never happened to any of you and I'm the only person that's got an enemy. Think about this. They may have been at one time called a friend. Huh? Now I can go on and on with that. We can amend that list. I know you probably have a list right in your Bible. people that you would consider an enemy. I think you get the idea. But according to this text here, and we're just going to stay true to this text here this morning, Matthew chapter number 5, Jesus says this to us. Now get this. I want you to get this. Love your enemies. Love your enemies. And I'll tell you what, that's difficult. The text goes this. He says this. I like this. He says, you've been told that it's okay to hate your enemy. Right? Look at it again. I want you to see it. Matthew chapter number 5. You've heard that it's been said, love thy neighbor, hate thine enemy. Right? This is what they've been taught. And by the way, they've been taught that by religious leaders. It's okay to hate people that are your enemy, people that you would mark or, you know, it's okay to hate them. But notice verse 44. But I say unto you, whenever you read the words in the gospel accounts, but I say, and here in my Bible, I got one of those red letter editions.
Come on.
Did you like that? That's Jesus speaking. Whenever Jesus speaks, listen, he is usurping his authority over everything else that's been said. Right? Now, I want you to get this. He says this to his disciples. You've been taught that it's okay to hate your enemies. It's okay to hate those that hate you. It's okay to hate. But I say, it's not okay. It's not okay. In fact, here's what he said. I say, love your enemies. Take a deep swallow there. Love your enemies. In other words, what Jesus says here matters. Love your enemies. And then he gives us that list of some of their actions. Right? Love your enemies. Those that, look what he says there, curse you. Right? And you can take that word curse you and just feed into it. Talk bad about you. Gossip about you. Spread lies about you. Hello? And by the way, can I say this and be accurate, please? Would you listen? Sometimes our enemies aren't always on the outside of these walls. Sometimes there's people right inside the family that become an enemy. Love them. They curse you, use you. Huh? They only know your phone number when they have hate you. These are his words. Hate you and persecute you. Now, look up here for a second. Let's get real. Let's not play church. Let's be honest. How in the world do you love somebody like that? Right? Don't get spiritual on me. Huh? Don't throw back your spiritual shoulders and just suck it. No. How do you love somebody like that? Right? I'm not talking about somebody who just doesn't like you. I'm talking about somebody who's bent on trying to hurt you. Right? To go out of their way. Jesus said they curse you, hate you, use you, persecute you. That's pretty tough. You'd love people like that. Someone said this. Someone said, to love your enemy doesn't mean that they suddenly become your friend. I'm going to feed you this morning, I promise you. You're not going to get what I'm going to give you in any book, and you've never heard me say it before. So pay attention, because we all have people like that in our life that Jesus is encouraging us to love. And basically, if I forget to say this, you don't love them for them, you love them for him. Because some of these people are very unlovable. Huh? Someone said this, to love our enemies does not mean that they suddenly become our friends. In fact, some of these people have become our enemies simply because we're friends with people who they consider to be enemies. Huh? You've never done anything to this person, but because you're a friend of somebody they hate, you've now become an enemy. Right? Sometimes it's because of our beliefs or our position on certain matters. You take a stand, right? I mean, all you got to do is look in society today. We preach tolerance, but you know what tolerance? The people who preach tolerance mean this. You got to believe like we believe. Huh? Because if you don't believe like us, then you're not tolerant. No, you got that all backward. That word enemy at its core means this. It means not a friend. Not a friend. They're an opponent. Not so much as we would call a sports team. No, they're an opponent in matters that matter. Are you with me? I'm going out of my way to be deliberate in these statements. So I want you to understand this. They're an opponent in matters that matter. And Jesus, again, Jesus says that we need to love such people. I came across this funny Irish, it's not a proverb, it's a curse. It's an Irish curse. Look at it. Flip it up, guys. May those that love us, and for those that don't love us, may God turn their hearts. And if He can't turn their hearts, may He turn their ankles so we can know them by their limping. If I was good at, you know, accents, I'd do that in brogue, but in Italian, we just say, we break your face. We break your face. Huh? Think about that. Look. You know who would have said amen to that? David in the Old Testament. Because they prayed in the Old Testament a prayer, it's labeled imprecatory. Did you ever hear about imprecatory praying? That's where you pray something like this. Lord, break his ankles. You know, blow up his car. Dry up his bank account. Make his hair fall out. Somebody's been praying for us. Tony, somebody's been praying for us. Imprecatory praying. Now, I'm not sure if that's what Jesus meant when he said, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. I don't think he was considering that. Are you with me? So let's put this into perspective. Now pay attention. The Pharisees taught this, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. Say it with me. The Pharisees taught, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. Right? The Old Testament, you read in the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, teaches this, love your neighbor as yourself and do good to your enemy. Right? Old Testament, love your neighbor as yourself and do good to your enemy. Pharisees said, hate your enemy. Old Testament said, do good to your enemy. But Jesus said, and when you hear Jesus speaking, that usurps everything else. And Jesus said, love your enemy. That's what he taught. Right? Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. That's the instruction of Jesus. Now, here's my question. How do we do that? How do we follow that instruction? How do we fulfill that instruction? We're in a series, right? The family of God. Members of the family. We have enemies. And Jesus said this about our enemies. Don't go to war against them. You need to love them. Pray for those who persecute you. So in reality, because I try to be a realist, and I want to do what Jesus tells me to do. How about you? Amen. I do. And so I say, Lord, how do I do that? How do I do that? And here's what he shared with me. Here's how you do it. It begins with prayer. Amen. It begins with prayer. Right? You see it right there in that text. Begins with prayer. If you have nimble fingers and you can get to Psalm 35 real quick, can I read that for you? Psalm 35. And this is the psalmist. I want to read just an excerpt from Psalm 35, verse 11. Would you pay good attention here today? Listen to what he said. Psalmist speaking. He said, false witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not. Do I need to interpret that for you? There's people out there lying about some things. I have no clue. He said, I have no clue what they're talking about. Can anybody identify with that? I have no idea what they're talking about. False witnesses, they've come to the surface. I have no clue what they're talking about. They've rewarded me evil for good, to the spoiling of my soul. All I've tried to do is good, and man, I'm getting evil. You know what the Bible says in the New Testament? You overcome evil by doing good. But when you do good, evil is present with it. You miss that. That's a dog chasing his tail. How do you overcome evil, Tony? You do good. What happens when you do good? Evil is present with it. You know what that is? That's a lifetime of just do right. Do right. You're going to get nailed. You're going to get hurt. The psalmist says, I tried to do right. They rewarded me evil for doing good. But look at verse number 13. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into my own bosom. Did you get that? You missed that. He says, look, he says there's false witnesses. They're laying charges against me that I know not of. They're rewarding me evil for good. But here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm going to do. When they're sick, I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to put on sackcloth. I'm going to mourn for them. I'm going to pray for them. I behave myself, verse 14. I behave myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bow down heavily as one that mourneth for his mother. But in my adversity, they rejoiced. I mean to tell you, they rejoiced when I was having a hard time. When they found out that I was going through it, they rejoiced. There's people like that. Huh? The only joy they get is by the turmoil of somebody else. Isn't that sad? That's terrible. They rejoiced. Yea, the abjects gathered themselves together against me, and I knew it not. They did tear me and cease not with hypocritical mockers and feast. They gnashed upon me with their teeth. You think David's going through that? We can go on and on and on. A couple pages forward, a fellow named Solomon, David's son, writes this, Proverbs chapter 25. Listen to what it says. Proverbs 25, verse 21. If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. If he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. Woo! Am I the only one having a good time here this morning? That's Bible. So the Lord says in the New Testament to us, he said, you need to love those who are enemies. They don't like you. They spread lies about you. They gossip about you. They try to hurt you. They try to turn people against you. What do? Go to war? No, love them. Well, how do I do that? Begins with prayer. It begins with prayer. Jesus tells us to pray for those who persecute us. He didn't say pray against them. That's easy. Right? You get somebody that turns against, it's easy to pray against them. No, he didn't say pray against them. He said pray for them. Amen. And somebody might say, well, Pastor, what's that look like? And I have to say to you, I don't know. Maybe what we need to pray, we need to pray something like this. Lord, would you turn their heart in the right direction? Huh? Maybe, I don't know, maybe we need to pray that, Lord, would you help them to see the error of their way? Huh? I mean, he says, pray for them. Lord, would you, if they're not saved, would you bring them into that right relationship? Would you give them some joy? You know, I've met some people, pay attention right here. I've met some people, and I'd say this to them. You better hold on to that anger, because if you let it go, you're going to have nothing. You better hold on to that bitterness, because if you let it go, you're going to have nothing. Because there are some people, and I'm talking about Christian folks, if they let go of some of those negative attributes, they'll have nothing, because they have no joy. They've allowed other people to rob that from them. They've allowed somebody to get into their heart and mess up their whole life. It's not worth it. And that's why Jesus is saying to his disciples in the very start, this is the beginning instruction for following him. You're going to come across some people that just don't like you. They may not like you because of you serving me or your connection to me. Here's what you do. Love them. And I think one of the disciples, how? Pray for them. Pray for them. See, you can't love these enemies unless you begin to see them through his eyes. And the only way you can do that is to pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them. But look at verse 45. Let's move on. Go back to that text there. You're probably there. I moved on. Look at verse 45. Matthew 5, verse 45. Look at this. He says, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. You see that? For he makes the sun his sun. And by the way, that's the S-U-N. That's the sunshine. He makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Right? So, look here. Look here. How do we love those that are unlovable? Those who are bent on doing us some wrong. You pray for them, and then you be true to your identity. You be true to your identity. Look at it again, verse 45. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Did you see that? It changes everything. Jesus now connects, pay attention to this, he connects our behavior to our identity. Somebody say, I'm with you, Pastor. He connects our behavior with our identity. I know I have. I grew up in a home that taught that. And then my children grew up in a home that taught that. Be true to your name. When you leave out of this house, you carry with you the family name. Such behavior, pay attention now, such behavior is not acceptable in this family. Right? Be true to your identity. Are you with me? Listen to what John says. 1 John chapter number 3. I think I put it on the screen for you. Verse 9. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Somebody say, huh? What? Wait a second. Go back. He cannot sin because he's born of God? Look here. I told you last week that I'm saved. I've been saved 46 years. Got saved November 1979. I hate to admit it, especially to you, but I sin. I don't sin like I used to sin. And I don't want to sin. Most of the time I don't try to sin. I have to be honest, or I'd be sinning. Raji got that one. But I do. But does that mean, Donald, because I sin, I'm not a member of the family? He cannot sin because he's born of God? Is that what he's teaching? No. Here's what he's teaching. Here's what John is teaching. We don't practice a lifestyle of sin. We may sin, but you know what we do when we sin? Well, in 1 John, I don't have it on the screen, but in 1 John chapter number 1, before he got there, he told us to do this. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, past, present, future. Correct? But what he's trying to say is this, because we're God's children, we're true to our identity, and we don't live a lifestyle of sin. Did you get that? Next verse says this, verse 10. In this, the children of God are manifest, or revealed, made visible, and the children of the devil. Whosoever does not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth his brother. Why did he have to throw that in there? Chapter 4, I don't have it on the screen, but in chapter number 4, John says this. And John knew there was going to be some between the brethren. Why? Because that's what a family is. Right? You have a sibling? Come on, man. You know once or twice in your life with your sibling. You had a little Right? You know what John said this? He said, how could you say you love God who you've not seen, If you don't love your brother, who you do see? And I'll be honest, if there's some Christian people, and I'm going to tell you this just flat out, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of things that I am just a mess about. But when it comes to holding grudges and forgiving people, I got no problem with that. I just don't, because it's not worth it. And I there's people trying to do me wrong, hurt me. There's people out there right now write things about me. I don't pay attention to any of it. Huh? No, I don't pay attention to it. And I hold nothing yet. If whoever they are, if they, man, they do something right and they call me up middle of the night and need help, I'm gone. I'm going to help you. Now, I may never become your friend. Probably not. But why hold it against them? It's not worth it. But as I preach, like, there's some faces popping up in your head. There's some names ringing in your ear. People that have done you wrong. People that don't like you. People that have hurt you. Huh? In fact, you're not even going to be able to enjoy lunch today because I preach this. There's people like that. Huh? But notice he said in that text, notice how Jesus universally blesses everyone. Did you see it? Here's what he's saying. He said, folks, look here. Just be true to your identity, because in my economy, I'm gonna let the sun and rain shine and pour down upon the just and the unjust. Did you ever go home and wonder how the person with the Mercedes, the Land Rover, the brand new truck, brand new roof, the lawn that is, you know, fairway grade at the PGA Tour. Don't go to church. Don't. And here you are, you pull up in your car. In fact, you say to your wife, you need to get out because it's not going to make it up the driveway. Praying it doesn't rain because the loop. Are you with me? Huh? They don't go to church. I go to church. Lord, it just doesn't seem to be. Huh? But God said this. Look here. I'm going to rain. I'm going to send the sunshine and the rain upon the just and the unjust. That's universal blessing. But they can't get in on the blessings that you and I have as children. No. But I wish other people would get happy like Gail. She gets so happy when I preach. Gail, would you take some of that medication and give it to them? So here's what he's saying in that text. In other words, don't treat people the way they treat you. Treat people the way you want to be treated. In fact, he takes it to a whole nother level. And here's what he says. He says, we ought to treat people the way the Father treats us. Amen. Say what? Extend mercy. Forgiveness. Understanding. That's what the Father does to me. I mean, he has a right, Brian, at any given time to clobber me. And there's many times I say, God, thank you for not clobbering me. How do you put up with me? Did you ever pray that? Did you ever say that to the Father? How do you put up with me? Huh? But he does. So how in the world can we begin to love those that are unlovable? Begins with prayer. And then, be true to your identity. But look at one final thing. Look at the next verse. Look at verse 46. He says, for if you love them which love you, how would you read that? Huh? Kind of like, if you only love people that love you, so what? Right? Anybody can do that. He says, even the publicans, even the Gentiles, even the unsaved do that. Right? And if you salute your brethren only, if you're only friendly with your brothers and sisters, so what? Big deal. Yeah. But he said, verse 48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. You know what he's saying there? Extend your radius. Extend your radius. How do you love the unlovable? It begins with prayer. You got to pray for them. Not against them, you pray for them. And then, you be true to your identity. I'm going to be like my Father. And extend your radius. your radius. Here's what Jesus is saying here. Here's what we need to learn. We need to learn to love the unlovable. Quiet. Man, it's quiet. How many of you, be honest now, play along. How many of you have some people in your life that are really unlovable? Come on. Come on now. If you won't raise your hand, then you don't live. There's something wrong with you. There are people that are just, there's some people that are difficult to love. Jesus said you need to love them. Not only that, you need to accept the unacceptable. Just a little bit ago, Aaron, our music director, who threw me under the bus on Wednesday night. I love him anyway. He said this. There you go. That's Aaron with the finger pointed. He said a little bit ago, Bob, he said, I saw Phil. I said, here? Is Phil here? Now, if you've been coming to church any length of time, you know a couple weeks ago I talked about a guy named Phil who I met at Wawa. I was going into Wawa and I said, could I get you something? He's down on his, you know, he's down on his luck, so to speak. You know, just sitting there and having a hard time. And can I get you something? And here's what he said to me. Give me a pair of sneakers. Honestly, I thought, that's what I said to him. I said, a pair of sneakers? I'm going to Wawa. Do they sell sneakers in Wawa now? I don't have sneakers. And he looked at me like, although you asked me if I can get you something. Give me some sneakers. And so I said, what size do you wear? He said, 11. 11? I don't wear an 11. And the only reason he wears an 11 is because he has ulcerated legs and feet. And I said, listen, I passed your church down the street. What church? And that led into another complete discussion. I said, I'll see if I can get you a pair of sneakers. All right, he said, I'm always here at U.S. Gas, which is right across the street. I came back, shared with the church that Sunday morning, that Sunday night. Somebody came up to me and said, Pastor, here's some sneakers for Phil. Praise the Lord. I didn't even get out of the parking lot. Somebody else came and said, here's a pair of sneakers for Phil. Before long, I just heard that Phil opened up a sneaker store. He's now selling sneakers at Wawa. Yeah. But I bring that up, and when Aaron, when you said to me this morning, I saw Phil, I thought, he's here? Startled me. But I asked him this question, did he have sneakers on? He said, yeah, sneakers on. He said, no, he's got cowboy boots on. No, he didn't say that. Huh? You know what Phil is labeled in our society? Unacceptable. He don't fit in. He doesn't fit in. But Jesus said, if you're going to be true to your identity, you're going to have to extend your radius and love the unlovable and accept the unacceptable and tolerate the intolerable. That's hard for me, Tyler. There are some people I just can't tolerate. I just can't tolerate. I hate negative people. I really do. Oh, that's a bad word. I shouldn't use the word hate. I'm sorry. Kids, you didn't hear me say that. I really, 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 really don't like negative people. I don't. I don't like being around people that the sky's crumbling and everything's high. Oh, no, President Trump. I almost called him pastor. President Trump attacked Iran. What now? What's going to happen now? We better hide. We better. Oh, my soul. Trust God. We're the church. We're a step above Israel. Nothing going to happen to us. You know what Mr. Trump did, President Trump did before he bombed Iran? He got everybody out. You know what happens before the Lord's come back and judge? He's getting the church out. We're not going to be here for that. We get all bent out of shape. Oh, no, what's going to happen now? It's all good. Father up above, looking down with love. It's all good. Pay more attention on what we should be doing. That's the key. So Jesus says this, and I'm going to finish. I've raised the standard. The bar has been raised. Huh? Did you see it? You need to extend your radius. That's what he's talking about here. high water mark isn't what would others do. The high water mark is what would Jesus do? That's what I need to ask myself. Somebody, you know, an enemy appears before me and tries to hurt me. And what would Jesus, how would Jesus respond? Don't get me wrong. Red blood in the veins. I want to respond. Yeah, you hit me on the cheek. Be careful. On a bad day, you're getting hit back. Huh? And you need to ask before you hit. Good day or bad day? Come on now. Don't pretend you're not that way. Not easy to turn the other cheek, go the extra mile. Huh? How about if Phil said, I want your sneakers. Here's my sneakers. Do you want my sweater too? That's what Jesus said. Right? That's Bible. That little fellow didn't like that. But notice what he says, verse 48. He said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Now, don't trip over the word perfect here. Right? Because all he's trying to say there is simply this. Just do right. Be mature. The emphasis is upon the word as in verse 48. You look, which be as your Father. That's the emphasis. Not perfect. Look here. God knows we're not perfect. And we'll never be perfect until we get to the other side. But he says, while you're here, be like your Father which is in heaven. Amen. See the teaching? Wow. And so even the family of God has its enemies. Jesus tells us to love those people. Those that disagree with us, attempt to hurt us, criticize us, persecute us. Love them. How do we do it? Begins by praying for them. Begins by being true to who you are, your identity. And it begins by just extending your hug radius. And we don't love just people that love us or look like us. Huh? I've said this before about being a church without walls. That means that anybody can come in. Huh? If you have a yard without a fence or a gate, you know what happens? You get strays. Every once in a while you get a dog out there. Not your dog. And he's out there. Every once in a while, I hate when it happens, but a cat shows up, ungodly as they are. We get all kinds of stuff in our. My wife said to me yesterday, she said, did you see the little chipmunk out there? Alvin was out there? I said, Alvin's back. Huh? My dog is a squirrel chaser. And if I open up the sliding door from our family room and he sees a squirrel, he just bam. And I'm waiting for the day where he just zzz, and right into the tree. You know, knock himself out. But you know, the church ought to be that way. Somebody comes in the back door and they got tattoos all over their forehead, all over their face, all down their neck, up and down their arms, everywhere you can see. I would hope the members of Open Bible say, man, good to have you here today. Huh? I hope the ushers say, hey, come on, put them right there. Right there. Don't hide them in the back. Just put them right there. I'll tell you, it's kind of like saying, sick them to a dog to me. Huh? And that girl comes in and she's not dressed the way we think she should be. I would hope the OB members, man, it's so good to see you. Come on. I hope you look past the skin, past the clothing. It's the decorum of the heart that matters. Are you with me? And I hope, now if she's not dressed all that good, don't put her right there. Sit her with Donna. Sit her with my wife. My wife will love all over her, and all I'll see is the love of Donna all over her. And I won't see any nudity. But where do we ever become such a exclusive club of people that look like us, sound like us, act like us? That's not the church. Good grief, when I showed up at church, I was a mess, dripping with gold and long hair and facial hair and tattoos, and it was a mess. That church welcomed me in, sat me down, never said a word, never said a word. Until the one day I got a haircut, James, and the pastor looked around and said, he said, "That's a nice haircut, Brother Yanizzi." And I thought I became a brother. I'm a brother. I became a brother, Brother Yanizzi. He never said, "Get a haircut, dude." He loved on me. And then that day he looked around, three people to get to me because I always used to hide. You know? And he looked around, "That's a nice haircut." And I thought, Thank you for noticing that. Hello? You know, Tyler, people take offense to me when I say, "Nathan, I'm proud of you, man." You can take all the offense you want. I'll never change that because in my heart, what I mean is, I am so happy to see what God is doing in your life, and you're doing a great job. And the only way I can express it is by saying, "I'm proud of you." Stop being so stinking religious. So religious. "Oh, did you hear what Pastor said this morning? He used to have tattoos." I didn't used to. I still do. I don't have that kind of money to get him taken off. Come on, man. Hey, I'm saved. The person inside is saved. He's different. He's new. This body you're going to bury one day. I'm not taking these tattoos with me to heaven. No. If I could do it all over again, I wouldn't get them. I was 17 years old. South Philly thought I was Mr. Cool. Hanging around with a bunch of nincompoops. Huh? You can't say that from the pulpit. I just did. So I knew. I went to Sailor Eddie's at 2 o'clock in the morning and got a big tattoo of, and I'm not telling you what it is. Went home and hid my arm for weeks so that my mom and dad wouldn't see because they'd kill me. And then my brother ratted me out. Stinking kid. Yeah. I have no clue as to why I said what I said, but I hope I helped somebody. What am I trying to say? Jesus is saying this. We got to get out of our comfort zone. We have to get past this. "They hurt me." Come on, man. That's not what following Christ is about. Extend your radius. I read this and I'm finished. I read this quote. Flip it up, guys. "As I walked out the door toward the gate that would lead me to freedom, I knew if I didn't leave my bitterness and hatred behind, I'd still be in prison." Now, I'm not promoting the person, but that's a powerful statement. And there's still a lot of people in prison simply because of that bitterness and that hatred that has got a hold of you. You got to get rid of it, man. You got to get rid of it. You know what Romans says? Romans chapter number 5. In verse number 1, I threw up verse 5, but listen to verse number 1. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations." We're crazy. We glory in tribulations. Why? "Knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." It's in there. You've got to get it out of there, because it does no good in there till you get it out of there. Amen? Well, God bless you, church. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the richness of it, the instruction of it, and then the help you give us to follow it, practice it, and allow it to consume our lives. Lord, you gave us some great instruction today from Matthew 5 and other places to love our enemies, pray for those who persecute us. And we need your help. We need your help to do that. As the family of God, we have those who oppose us, stand against us, try to hurt us. And yet we're to respond like you, our Heavenly Father. Help us to be as our Heavenly Father and live that way. Help us to live by kingdom rules, completely different than the rules that manage and govern on earth today. But help us to do our best so we might advance your kingdom as being salt and light in this dark world. We love you. We thank you for this group of individuals you gathered this morning. And we pray you'll bless with strength and grace each one so that we might fulfill this mission. I pray for those who might be here this morning without Christ. We pray you open their eyes and hearts to the things of God and help them to see for themselves what they need to do to be saved. Saved once and for all. We pray in Jesus' name and amen.